Hey, well, we're going to continue our little study that we've been doing for the past few weeks about social media, and just something we've been kind of carrying on from our summer seminar that we didn't have quite enough time to get to. And I don't know how much of this I'm going to be able to cover. There's a lot of information that I've got that I've been reading a research study about social media that was just published recently, and that's what kind of got my mind thinking about this. And again, I would say it every time, I am not against technology. I love technology. My wife and I were at Best Buy last night playing around with iPads. They're pretty cool. And you got this pencil and you can do all this awesome stuff. And I'm like, man, I wouldn't know how to use it probably very well, but it is some pretty neat stuff. I enjoy technology. I like my iPhone and my Apple Watch and my Mac. I enjoy how it all syncs together and it really helps things go a lot smoother for me. I love technology. I have social media. I'm not against social media. We have it for our school. If we need parents can see quickly what's happening at the school. Caitlin does really good keeping things updated on our Instagram page, our Facebook page, and we can even Facebook live stream events that happen at school. It's a wonderful and excellent tool. But at the same time, I believe we as adults and parents also need to be aware of what's happening, because sadly, a lot of parents just kind of have their head in the sand, little ostrich mentality or whatever you want to call it, where we just don't want to know what's going on in the cell phone of our young people. We just give it to them and they're happy and they're out of our hair, so we don't want to mess with it. And that's a sadly current day 2019 parenting in a nutshell that we see quite a bit here at the school. But just to be aware of that, I'm just going to review quickly some of the statistics that 17 hours are consumed by school, sleep, and school-related activity. All their leisure time is spent with this new media. Teens watch about 2 hours of TV daily. But while multitasking with social media, we talked about this. And then from 2006 to 2015, the time on the media doubled, and we attributed that obviously to the rise of the smartphone, the iPhone, and then the other people that use the Samsung, but I won't get on that. Just joking. I was just joking. It's okay. We're good. Some of you are like, I don't even know what you're talking about. That's okay. Anyway, mostly texting is what they're doing. And again, as I said the other day, you know, I text, but I still use my texting app. I use like the Apple texting and all this stuff. Kids don't do that. I don't think we realize that sometimes. They're on every other social media platform. That's how they communicate with each other. They don't need a plan that has texting. They need a device that gets on Wi-Fi and they're good. That's all they need. They can do anything they want to do. They can do video calls, actual calls, texting, sharing messaging, and those kind of things. And that's what the young people are on these days. Just real quick, here's some stats we shared last week. In 12th grade, 87% of girls, 77% of boys are using social media at least once daily. Only 2% said they never have used social media. And in 8th graders, 75% use social media daily. We're talking about 12-year-olds. Talking about 12-year-olds, okay? That's all they're doing. Overall usage here, there's 3.2 billion people, or 42% of the population worldwide. Facebook's the most popular, 2.32 billion. 91% of millennials, 77% of Gen X, which I think I'm Gen X, I think. And 48.2% of boomers use social media, even the old people that I think, Todd, are you the boomer generation? Yes. Okay. So, you know, and he has social media that he uses. There's nothing wrong with it. It's good. It's fun and it's enjoyable. My family and I are here in Milton, Florida. Our closest family is 6 hours away in Atlanta, and most of them are 10 to 12 hours away in North Carolina. And so Megan can always share pictures and see what's going on and keep up with her sisters. And it's wonderful to be able to do that so instantly. It's a good tool. But people are using it quite frequently. The average is 2.3 hours a day. You can see how this is taking the place of even television and other forms of media that were so prominent even just 15 years ago. And then 54% use social media as consumers. I don't know if you've noticed, but if you have Facebook or Instagram, there's all these ads that keep coming up. You can't even watch a video on YouTube without an ad coming up for you to be able to maybe buy something. And you can actually pay. We do it for our school. We have Facebook ads. And it's very, very unbelievable how they do that. They can target the Facebook. We can go there and say, we want our Santa Rosa Christian School Facebook ad to go to parents that are between ages 20 and 38 and that have at least one child, 5 and older. You can put in all these different things and boom, Facebook knows who they are. A little scary, isn't it? They know where you are. They know all about you. And you're just scrolling and you've got a 7-year-old. Oh, Santa Rosa Christian School or other schools, you know, Pensacola Christian College, whatever. It just comes up on your feed and you pay. It's actually pretty cheap advertising. You can pay, I don't know, $30 to $100 a month, depending on how much you want it to go out, and they'll just land blast that ad out there like crazy. and it's very inexpensive. You can put videos, pictures. Instead of just hearing an ad on the radio, you're literally seeing the school. It's excellent tools. But a lot of people are using it for consuming. There's a lot of ads. This is kind of where we ended up last week. 500 million daily Instagram stories. You know what an Instagram story is, maybe? It's you can add to your story of what you're doing. Remember, social media is about you having a voice. We'll go back into the philosophy of it. But it empowers you to have your voice. You want people to know what you're doing. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. I told you a few weeks ago, Megan and I always enjoy seeing Alyssa's Instagram story. She has the fave skies of October, November, and I'm looking forward to December. So she takes pictures of sunsets, and then at the end of the month, she adds them to her story, and they're always really beautiful. So you've now made me get in several car accidents, almost, because I'm driving along, and it's like, look at that sky! We got to get a picture for Alyssa! And I'm like, you know, she can get a picture for Alyssa. You know, it's new. You add to your story, and everybody sees what you're doing, or you can keep up with things throughout the day. About the only time I've ever done that was when I got to go to Cameron Indoor Stadium to watch Duke. Sorry, guys. And I got to watch Zion Williamson, and I added some pictures to my story, you know, with Seth and I there and watching Duke play. And I don't do a lot of that, but, you know, people want to see, oh, what are you doing? How did that experience go for you and whatever? So that's an Instagram story. Adult usage, it's not just the kids. 73% use YouTube, 68% use Facebook. And then over age 50, 55% are using Facebook, 56% getting on YouTube. Now, obviously, the younger adults, we're going to talk about some of this today. Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat are the more frequent apps that they'd be using. And I'm going to put, by the way, that was from the Pew Research Forum here, 2018, a year ago. I'm going to put this up. You may have never heard of some of these. And again, I know it just kind of chopped. I'm sorry. Facebook, WhatsApp, QQ, WeChat, that's Qzone and Tumblr on the left there. And maybe some of you are probably like, I've never heard of any of these. Well, I wanted to talk about a few of them real quick. QQ and WhatsApp are probably two of the most popular worldwide communication apps. As far as, example, I've told you before, I've been to South America multiple times. When I go to Peru, Chile, Bolivia, I don't add international service to my phone. I just use WhatsApp. I can contact everybody that's on my missions team. I can call home. I can text Megan right through it. All I have to have is Wi-Fi. There's no need to go out and pay hundreds of dollars a month for an international plan when, if you have Wi-Fi, you're good. Obviously, if you're going to places without Wi-Fi, you do need to consider getting an international plan. But WhatsApp is just communication. You can video call. Another neat thing is, and I do it with Peter Pignol, one of our missionaries in Spain. I'm going to go see him next summer. I'm really excited about that. But he sends me voice messages. So you can hold the record button, and he just starts talking. He just starts talking. And he'll talk. Sometimes he sends me long messages that are 5 to 10 minutes long. He'll hit send. And then I hit play, and I just hear his voice literally just repeating back to me. Really amazing tools. But communication apps, that's what they are. WeChat is similar to WhatsApp, but these are more popular internationally. We don't really hear much about them here. Qzone is where you share music, video, watch videos, listen to music. It's like an all-in-one. I've never really heard of Qzone until I started looking through this. Tumblr is a blogging platform. We'll talk about Tumblr in a little bit. Of course, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, we all know those. You ladies know all about Pinterest, right? Miss Gamble's been planning a wedding. Her computer's probably overloaded on Pinterest. Mr. Gambold's wallet is overloaded on Pinterest. I don't know how that goes, but ladies enjoy that. We talked about that a little bit. LinkedIn is for professionals. You make a profile of who you are and what your professional jobs are, and people share resumes. They get jobs through LinkedIn. People share articles and information that's important for your research field or whatever you're doing. Obviously, YouTube, everybody knows about YouTube. Some of these other ones I wanted to talk about. Discord. You've probably never heard of that, but all the teenagers have. Because that is a video, Ryan's like, it's a video game app where they communicate and they share what's going on in their video games through that app. So we'll talk about that one a little bit later. We're also going to talk about TikTok in a few minutes. House party. That just sounds fun, doesn't it? It's a group video chat. So you get a bunch of people together and you're doing a group video chat. They could be all over the country or all over the world, but they're all in this group chat together. Of course, you can get yourself into trouble with any of those things. Live.me is you are broadcasting yourself live. May be fine, but in some situations, not really. I wanted to talk about Whisper just for a second. Whisper is a social confessional app. Now, I'd never heard of Whisper until I started studying this. They go on there and they share their feelings, and it is supposed to be very private, and you only share that with certain people that you are confessing to, typically your peers. you know, and things like that. But sadly, there's a lot of danger in here because since it's such a private rated app, teenagers and preteens even, little kids, 11, 12, 13-year-old kids, are sharing sexual content, nude photos and videos, and it's supposed to be a very private app where people can't get in, so they feel more at liberty to do those kind of things. And so, again, if you're a parent or a grandparent or if you're a teacher and you see these kind of things, just to give you an idea of what they are. Can they be used for right things? Sure. Can they easily be used for wrong things? Yeah, you betcha. And that's what we have to be careful with. And I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this. Just move on quickly. We're going to talk about a couple specific. One of my goals with this month-long lesson situation was for us to at least know how some of this stuff works. Maybe if you're a parent and you've never seen these things before, and so it's easy to say, all right, I'm looking at my kid's cell phone and I see all this stuff, but I don't even know how it works. I don't even know where to go or what to click. And as parents, we ought to be going and clicking and checking and reading and snooping. We ought to. If we're going to give them this power, then we better investigate it. We better hold some accountability, because I'm going to tell you, the temptation, we're like, oh, they can handle it. The temptations are strong. And it takes a committed Christian to handle this. And we've got to be a little careful of that. So I'm going to talk, first of all, about Instagram. It's one of the most popular teenage apps, of course. You can follow something, but they don't have to follow you back. So you request to follow random things. Like, for example, I told you I don't watch news. I get too angry. I will follow some news pages. I can follow Fox News, or I could follow, you know, I like sports. So I'll follow like House of Highlights or Bleacher Report. And they show, you know, the old days. I remember when I was in college, Sam Sandlin and I, we had a 1 hour break between a couple classes, and we would jump in my little 1993 Ford Ranger, and we would fly like the wind to my mom's house for that 1 hour to try to catch SportsCenter so we could see what happened in baseball last night or something like that. You know, that was our college days. Got to go see SportsCenter, see what happened. You don't have to do that anymore. You literally, all the highlights and all the things you'd want to see about the major events of sports, just follow a sports page and they show it all to you. And so it saves a little bit of time. But Instagram is sharing videos, sharing pictures and all those things. You can have a private chat. This is what we want to talk about for a few minutes. A private chat, and you can have multiple pages. And here's where parents and teachers sometimes don't see that. You open up the Instagram. Oh, they're following some pretty good stuff. I've known of young people that have had 3 to 4 to 5+ Instagram pages. So parents don't know how to change the page to see all the other profiles that their child has. They just think, oh, here's the one. Child's like, sure, Mom, you can check my Instagram. But they don't know how to then take that Instagram and go to the other pages, to the multiple users that the kid has created with names of the page that probably may not be appropriate or things of that nature. And the parent is totally oblivious. I'm going to show you some screenshots of that here in just a minute. I put this up. Maybe you've heard of this. Maybe you kids have heard of this. I don't know. Rinsta versus Finsta. The real Instagram versus the fake Instagram. You can't see it. Oh, yeah, you can a little bit. Rinsta versus Finsta. There's the real Instagram page that Mom knows about, but I've got a bunch of other fake Instagram pages that my close circle of friends and I, we are the only ones that know about that. So what are we removing? It's called accountability. We're sidestepping accountability. And I'm going to have my own private page that my mom and dad don't know about. You know, and again, you know, when we were kids, if we didn't want our parents something, we'd hide it in the drawer, and Mom go in there and tear your drawer apart, and you'd get in trouble. That never happened to me. But now, you know, we can hide things more stealthily because the young kids look at their parents as, well, they're just dumb, and they don't know how to get in here, and I've got all these multiple pages hidden. And that's kind of where we're at here. So a fake account for my close circle of friends, but my real Instagram, I curate it. I'm very specific with it so that the wider audience can see that and think, oh, that's a good kid. He's doing the right things. Meanwhile, I've got this whole secret pages going on that I don't follow certain people with because they might tell my parents and things of that nature. Likes, follows, and comments, that's what they live for. Did somebody like the picture that I showed? Did someone comment on the picture about how beautiful I was? And we've said it before, these young people are going into depression. They're going into depression and anxiety because my friends were over there and I see that on Instagram and I wasn't invited and I'm over here and everybody's liking their thing and they didn't like my picture and now I'm going to go commit suicide. Sounds silly, but it's happening a lot. Well, we'll talk about the search area in just a minute. But they can be on this even if you take their device. It's called FOMO, fear of missing out, right? That's a real thing to kids. It's a huge thing to them. I might miss out on what my friends are doing. So this may sound crazy. I've known of kids that their parents did not know. They were in shock, and I'm like, look what your child is doing on Instagram. How are they on Instagram? I don't know, you tell me. Well, they don't have a cell phone or a tablet or anything. I've known of kids that have snuck around and bought their own device. You can pick up a cell phone, a smartphone, even an old junker, at a yard sale, on Craigslist, whatever, for $5. You don't have to have cell phone service. All they want is something that hooks up to that Wi-Fi. And then it's all over. They don't need a cell phone. They want a device that gets on Wi-Fi. Or they go spend the night with their friends and they get on their friend's device and open up their own account that they have on that device. And this is happening. I mean, I've seen it with my own eyes. I've had to deal with students in school about this before and go to their parents about it and look what's going on. And they're in a state of shock. How did that happen? And then they start investigating and they find out so-and-so spent the night with so-and-so and then they went and bought this and mom and dad have no idea and it's hidden in the closet or it's hidden at my friend's house. No idea. Kids are so afraid of missing out. That's the depths of deception they'll go to. Just because they don't want to miss out on what their friends are doing. The fear of missing out is a real thing for these kids. They even, if their device gets taken by their parents, they'll tell their friends at school, here, post this for me, or do this for me, or tell this to so-and-so for me. They're just so afraid to miss out. They've got to stay active in their accounts and get more likes and get more comments and things of that nature. I want to put up some pictures of Instagram. So just for you, if you haven't seen it, I took this last week when this most ridiculous thing in the world to me. I think some homeless man went up and ate it, I think, is what I read. I thought that was kind of funny. What was that? Yeah, somebody ate it. $120,000 for somebody duct taped a banana to a wall and called it art. That's a whole nother topic. I'm not getting off on that one. Anyway, that's an Instagram feed. So you can scroll through. You can double tap the picture and it'll show on the bottom left that heart will turn red and it'll show that you liked it. You can hit this one here and you can send a private message with it. You can bookmark the page. You can comment. Here's stories across the page. I have Caitlin had a story that day. Mike, Big Mike's bike. Michael had a story there. Jewel, one of our graduates. And I can see what they're doing that day. Caitlin maybe was out shopping or something. Or Mike was out doing wheelies for 50 miles. I don't know. No, he wasn't, Brenda. I'm sorry. He was actually driving the speed limit. And both wheels were on the ground. You believe it? Okay. Anyway, you can see what they're doing and that you follow their stories. That's where they appear. But I wanted to come over here. I just wanted to show you this. People don't know where to go. Well, go down here, parents, if you want to know what your kids are doing, on that little person down there and click it. And it has their profile up there. Mine's AC Watt 1980 because that's when I was born. I'm old. You click on that, and on mine it also shows Santa Rosa Christian School because I'm one of the administrators of the account. But you click on that on some of these kids, and they may have 5 or 6 other pages that mom and dad have no idea where to go on the screen to find that. I mean, if you're not good at navigating those kind of things, that's kind of hard to get to. And these kids know that. So they're going to hide everything from mom and dad. And you've got to go down there, bottom right. No, I got some pictures of Duke. You can see this is me at Krzyzewskiville. So that's kind of, I'll post some pictures of that here and there. But I can go up there and click on AC Watt where that little down arrow is. Notice me, I only have 120 followers. I'm just such huge. Huge, man. I'm there just beating the doors down to find me. I just don't ever hardly post anything. So, I mean, these kids, they thrive on how many followers can I get? Into the thousands and thousands and thousands. They're consumed with it. But that's where you can go if you want to find some of those other things. One thing to be careful with is that search. The second one has a little magnifying glass. There's a variety of topics that come across. The default, listen now, we think sometimes, oh, I'm just doing this on my own. They know exactly what you're looking at. You ever Googled something and then all of a sudden an ad for it shows up on your newsfeed? Happens to me all the time. Well, you can go into incognito mode or whatever on your Apple or whatever. And the thing about mine is it all links together. So if I Google an airplane ticket, I'm on Delta, all of a sudden I've got a Delta ad popping up on my Instagram feed instantaneously. They know what you're doing. They know where you're going. They know it all. Well, the first page you come to on the search bar is curated by Instagram based on your likes and your interests. So parents, if you just want to get an overall idea of what your kid's looking at on Instagram, hit that button. The first page of their own specific page puts in suggested things to follow based on what they know your kid has been looking at. Then you can scroll across the top. There's a shopping, a travel, a food. There's a gaming one, decor, TV, movies, automobiles. You know, people like to post pictures of race cars and fast cars and all that kind of stuff. I kind of like that stuff. Nature, style, music, sports. And then there's one that may seem innocent. It's called comics. Now, don't think of comics like it was in the old days with the comic book. Real comics, you know, that was, you know, I remember we couldn't wait till Sunday to get the funny papers, right? Garfield and Odie and, you know, it was funny. Or The Far Side or something like that. This stuff, now, this is what's sad. Parents see comics and think, oh, no big deal, move on, without opening it. I looked on it just to see. Most of it is the anime garbage, which I could do a whole month-long thing on anime. Now, I'm just going to throw this out there. If your child or grandchild is involved in anime, stop them. Oh, you're being mean. Stop them. It is one of the most perverse, sexually driven, disgusting type of comics and cartoons out there. It's full of depression. It's full of suicide. It's full of blood. And it's full of sex. And 8-year-olds are obsessed with it. It is ruining young people. We fight it in this school. I tell them, we don't want to see any of it. You don't draw it. You don't bring it. You don't, none of it. Not going to have it. But and we're just, parents are oblivious. They're oblivious. Don't have any idea. And I'm going to say it, anime is the devil, period. It is, and if you don't believe me, then you should go ahead and do your own research, because I'm not going to talk about it in this mixed group. That's comics today. About 80% of it probably is sexual in nature. That's funny. That's what kids are looking at. Hit that search button. You can't control on some of these pages what pops up. And what has been seen cannot be unseen. Right in here. And the kid clicks on it and then follows more. And it's here. It's like a plow digging down the furrows of their brain. They may forget about it for a while. Something else will happen to bring it back up. Those thoughts, what they've seen. Quickly, let's go through some more things here. Here's some other major ones that worldwide. Now, I know GroupMe is the first one there. It's not as popular maybe here in the States, but it is becoming popular and is popular worldwide. That has embedded, I don't know if they say GIFs or GIFs. I don't never. Just GIFs, whatever they are. Emojis. And sadly, again, I'm going to talk about the things. These things are, some of them are, oh, they're fine, you know, but I'm going to tell you the warnings about them. That's what I'm going to tell you. In GroupMe, a lot of the emojis have adult themes. Drinking. Sex, an animated bitmoji. It looks so innocent and cute. It's animated. Just because it's animated doesn't mean it's good. We think, oh, animated. My kids are watching cartoons like I did when I was a kid. No, we watched Yosemite Sam blowing stuff up and Roadrunner getting hit by anvils and Tom and Jerry chasing each other with the bulldog out back and Tweety Bird. That's what we watched. Oh, Yosemite Sam had guns. We'd much rather than watch anime full of sex. What is wrong with us? That's America in 2019. Bring back Daffy Duck. I mean, I don't get it. We think animated, it's innocent. It's far from it. It attracts young people and destroys their minds. Discord, that's the one that video game chats. That's that second one on the top in the middle. Kind of weird looking logo there. But the problem with that is you get into these public groups. You have no idea who you're talking to on the other end. It's one thing if you're talking and chatting to the friends that you know and you use their username. But there's whole worlds out there of people that you don't know who they are. And you can ask my boys about how happy that makes me if I find them in a chat with somebody that I don't know who it is. I about burned a house down. We're not doing that. You want to talk to your friends at school? I have no problem with that. Let me see what you're saying. Okay, we're good. But if there's accountability there, it's got to be. Well, we're failing. I think for too long, I think we've already lost half of the generation of young people the past 5 years because adults are just now catching up. What have we been doing for the past 10 years? It's over. They're already used to doing what they want to do without mom and dad looking at it. Tumblr is a stream of text, photos, and videos, and it's very, very easy to find a lot of pornographic content on those pages. And kids just sit there and scroll. And here's one thing about Tumblr. All the pages are public. All the pages are public. But if you want to make a private page, you have to have a public page first, obviously. So what kids are doing is they're making their public page. Then once you have that established, you can then make a second profile, and the parents have no idea what videos and pictures and things those their young people are looking at on Tumblr. The next one I want to talk about is TikTok. That's on the bottom right. You ever heard of TikTok? It used to be called Music Lee with a dot between the L-Y and the something. Now, I'm sorry. I'm opinionated. And I'm sorry I'm opinionated. But I cannot stand that. The first reason why I can't stand it is because it's nothing but the filthy garbage music of the world. That's what it is. Explain what it does real quick. There's famous songs you find or download, blah, blah, whatever. And you selfie mode lip syncing and dancing yourself to the lyrics as they play. And then you post it to see how many likes. And if all your friends liked how you look, we're sitting there, all this bunch of sensual garbage. Well, that's exactly what I want my young person to be listening to. If we're not watching what our young people are listening to, we're ostrich parents. We're ostrich parents. We're going to promote the world's garbage and their junky music that teaches them to do whatever you want. That's the world of music in a nutshell. You do what you want and what feels good to you. And then we're going to post videos about it. And you got these 8 to 14 year olds doing this garbage, putting on all this makeup and dancing in front of it and singing. I want to go vomit is what I want to do. That's disgusting. Nobody wants to see that. How many parents would love to see that their 13-year-old has paraded themselves like that on social media? You'd be angry. You'd be disgusted. You'd be sick at your stomach of what kind of people are watching your 12-year-old daughter dress immodestly and dance in selfie mode. We're all Christians here. Well, we say we love Jesus out of one side of our mouth. A lot of predators on TikTok. For that alone ought to be good enough reason. It's a lot of predators. These nasty little 40 and 50 year old men looking. It's the inconsistency of it all makes me upset a little bit. We got to protect the children. You hear this from the government. We're going to protect the children. We don't want these sexual predators. And then we allow this stuff. You can have parental controls on certain devices that the parent, the student, or kid cannot download something without your permission, without a password. But most parents don't know that and don't want to mess with it. Oh, of course. 100%. 100% the easiest way. Some of our boys have tablets their uncle gave them. Megan could go online in their account and she sets off a cutoff time, or you can only watch it for this many minutes, and you can't download anything. If they try, it sends her an alert. There's ways to do it right, because there's enjoyable things. But most parents, it's the ostrich in the sand. I'm done. I don't want to know. And we give them free rein in it. So yes, there are ways to do that, and that's wise parenting. This used to be called Music.ly. It got bought by ByteDance for $1 billion. A billion. And they merged it and made it into TikTok. Mainly, it's the most popular, most downloaded app in 2018. 15-second videos, kids video themselves lip-syncing popular music, share it, see how many likes they can get, dancing as well. But they also do gymnastics, cheerleading, parkour, comedy. You put hashtags in there to try to spread it. A lot of it ends up being risque. And that's my problems with that. And then, of course, Snapchat. There's a lot of dangers. That's the top right one. A lot of dangers of Snapchat because it disappears. It disappears. You take a picture, you send a video, you do that, and then it's gone from the screen once it's opened after a certain amount of time. Of course, you can screenshot it, but then it sends an alert to the other person that it was screenshotted. Most people, if they want to, I've heard of parents that were so upset about somebody being bullied, they videoed it with their phone, the screen of their teenager, and things like that. But one thing about the Snapchat is you can have a Snap map where people can know where you are, unless you turn it into ghost mode or turn that off. I can open up a Snap map and I can see where everybody is that is not in ghost mode. And also, one thing about Snapchat that's very careful is there's a page on Snapchat that is the search page. And they just throw up anything you want right there on the screen. And these teenagers just rolling through it. And some of it is very inappropriate. I can't even repeat it here. There was actually a huge uproar last year over a couple stories that were posted on the public search page that were highly inappropriate. I mean, disgusting. And people were upset about it, of course. But the problem with that is MTV, Cosmopolitan, BuzzFeed, Vice, those are the kind of news outlets that are sending out their stuff right there on the screen. And once you slide over to see that screen, you see it. It's there. So there's a lot of things you've got to be careful with that. Now, my time is almost gone, but I wanted to introduce where we're going with this. I wanted to show you those things practically, just in case you had no idea or didn't know how all this worked, you can see it. And we got to be very careful. You better get on the phone and find out what's going on. Better get on it. You better open it. You better look. I'd read a research study by Twinge. That didn't come up somehow. Well, there it is. She's a professor. She did a research study. She's done this study in trends. Trends take years to do. She's done it for 10 to 15 years. And this is what she's come up with. There are 10 trends that are shaping iGen, and she attributes it, a lot of it, to social media. I'm going to go through these quickly, and then we're going to start talking about the first one. And I'm going to try my best. Some of these we're going to cover in more detail than others. Some of them I'm going to hit quickly as we go through the next couple weeks. Here's the 10 trends, and we're going to explain what they are. In no hurry. That's the first one, in no hurry. The second one is internet, which how much time they're really spending on their phones, which we covered last week, all those statistics I shared with you. The third one is in person no more. There's a decline of in-person social interaction. The fourth one is insecure. There's a lot of mental health issues, depression and anxiety and suicidal thoughts and things of that nature. The fifth one, I thought this was interesting, irreligious. The decline in religion. The sixth one, insulated but not intrinsic. So they're interested in safety, but they're declining an intrinsic involvement in society, in civics, in civility, in civilization. Income insecurity, number seven, new attitudes toward work. We can discuss that one. Indefinite, which she declaims is new attitudes toward sex, relationships, and children. Having a family, having a home. New attitudes toward that. Number nine, inclusive, which acceptance, free speech debates, equality, all those kind of things. That's a trend that's shaping the next generation. And the last one is independent. In their political views, they're more worried about coming up with their own things independently rather than, you know, a certain party or whatever. We're going to get into those. Hopefully, some of these I won't be able to spend a lot of time on, but the first one I wanted to talk about, which to me was really important, is in no hurry. We've heard this. Pastors talked about it for the past 8 years. It is an extension of childhood into adolescence. We're going to be little kitty kids longer and longer and longer. We don't want to grow up. I'm going to be a Toys R Us kid, right? Remember that old song? I don't want to grow up. I want to be a Toys R Us kid. And then Toys R Us went bankrupt. Now they're making a comeback. So anyway, I'm going to list some things here. iGen teens are less likely to, first of all, experience freedom outside of the house without their parents. You think, well, that sounds, it's kind of interesting. They would rather sit at home, or if they go out to the store or to something, they go with mommy and daddy. They're not in a hurry to grow up. This is what she's surveyed thousands of teenagers across this country. They're less likely to date. That may be a good thing for some kids, I don't know. But they don't want to go outside of the house without their parents. They don't want to date. They didn't like, you know, the research study, and again, this lady is not a Christian. She talks about how, you know, back in the 1970s, you could see photographs of teenagers and 12-year-olds, you know, posing with cigarettes. She's not condoning cigarettes, obviously. Or, you know, going out to wherever and having a girlfriend and kissing your girlfriend or something like that as a teenager. And again, obviously, we have standards and we don't want our young people doing those things anyway. She's saying they don't even have the interest. Now, get the point. Again, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not condoning making out with a girlfriend and all this stuff. She's saying they don't even have the interest for these things. They'd rather sit at home in their room alone. And if they need to go out, they take mommy. As 18-year-olds. That's scary. Again, I'm not condoning the sin. Other things like entering sexual relationships. Well, we don't, obviously, before marriage, there's not supposed to be sexual relationships outside of marriage, but she's making a point here. Please understand what she's saying. She's saying there's not even, again, the desire. Not even the desire to have a relationship with somebody. I think, what's a good thing? Yes, it's a good thing that kids are not having sexual relationships like they used to, but the reason why is not because we're suddenly getting spiritual in America. That's not the reason. The reason is we're not growing up. We're not wanting to do things that adults do. And again, some of these things that adults do, we're not condoning. Please don't misunderstand me. Here's one that will maybe make sense. Get their driver's license. You know, marriage and children are far off to kids. They don't even want to think about it, the teens. It used to be people were getting married when they were 16, 18 years old. My grandma, great-grandma, got married at age 13. On the farm, her and her husband started their own farm. This is back, way back. This is like pre-Depression era. Totally different mindset. Obviously, I don't condone a 13-year-old get married to me, but in that day, that's what they did. We're going to make our own farm and make our own living and support ourselves. And had a bunch of kids. And of course, it was a big thing to them. Family, kids, these teenagers don't even want to think that. To them, it's 40 years away. Way down the road here. Getting their driver's license. I thought that one was kind of an interesting one. I don't know. I was about to die to get my driver's license. I don't know about you. I could not wait to get my driver's license. The last thing I wanted to do was be driven around by my mom. I wanted to go fast. I could not wait to get my driver's license. It was so fun. And, you know, getting a car and all those kind of things and driving, being independent. That's the way I grew up. We couldn't wait. And Dad let us get our permit on the day we turned 15. And the day we turned 16, it was a big deal going down and getting our driver's license. It was the most awesome. I couldn't care if anything else happened. I don't care if my birthday wasn't even important. I'm going to get my driver's license. I could not wait. Got it there, passed the test, drove, probably scared the poor instructor half to death. Passed, got my license, and I remember the next day, my mom said, hey, the Lanier's, we left So-So's jacket at the Lanier's. Why don't you run down there and get it for me? Yes, ma'am. Buddy, I bolted out of that house so fast, make your head spin. I jumped in the 1994 Aerostar. That thing would move, buddy, let me tell you. It was a big, long, green one, and I had that thing kind of to the mat a little more than I should. I was coming back on Highway, Mom, I hope you're not listening. Highway 421, I was going 90 miles an hour. I shouldn't have. Terrible. I'm not setting a bad example. But the point is independence. We couldn't wait to get our license. I'll just hang on to mommy a little longer. I know not everybody can get their license, and I know that's not what I'm saying, but overall this attitude of, we're just not going to grow up. Who cares? Who cares? There's this, it's called life history theory. And I'm going to just share this with you real quick as we close. Teens today follow a slow life strategy that was common in times and places where families have fewer children and cultivate each child longer and more intensely. That's a good description of our current culture in the United States. When the average family only has about two kids, kids can start playing organized sports at age three, and preparing for college begins in elementary school. What's the focus? Each individual child just versus a fast life strategy where families are larger, parents focus on subsistence, living rather than quality. This fast life strategy involves less preparation for the future and more focus on just getting through the day. This was common in the boomer era when fewer labor-saving devices were available. Average woman had four children, and as a result, some of them ended up playing in the street. Tragic. That's what it used to be. She said this, "When my uncle told me about going skinny dipping in the river when he was 8 years old, I wondered why his parents had let him do that, why they hadn't been with him. Then I remembered his parents had seven other children and ran a farm. The goal was survival, not violin lessons by age five." Fast life theory, slow life. It's literally a theory in research. And it makes sense. And she's seeing that this is kind of becoming the case in the United States. I think I have more. I got to stop. I've got several more things to share with you. We'll pick this up next week. And again, I don't want you to misunderstand what she's saying. She's just overall saying they're carrying out childhood longer. The one that I just got a kick out of is one of the last ones we're going to look at, is that parents are, again, I know parents have to help, but they're helping their little kitties in college. She talks about how she can't even get through a meeting with a student and the phone starts going off and the student's going, it's my mom, I got to take this call. And she's like, you're an adult in a meeting with a professor. Yeah, Hi, Mom. Yeah. She talks about stories like this. I have a friend said over the past 5 to 10 years, it is very disheartening the amount of parents that call him wanting, I don't understand my child's grade. You're an adult in college. You do your own grade. He said, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'll speak to the adult who has signed up for this class. Those mean people, my darlings. They're 19 years old. We're extending childhood into adolescence. Anyway, there's a balance in there somewhere, but I'm just showing you the facts of what she learned. We got to stop there, and we'll pick up there next week. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for your love to us and for opportunity we have to learn about these things, and sadly the effects they're having on our country. Give us a right perspective. Help us to be vigilant as parents, teachers, grandparents, and those involved with young people, that we would seek to honor you and to teach them the right things so that they can handle these things from a Christian perspective, rightly. Thank you now, Father, for this time. Bless our service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.